In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I suppose all of you know the golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Today, in a parable, the rule is restated to actually be even more perfect. Because after all, the reason we do good is because God is good. So, we could restate it as, do unto others as you would want God to do unto you. That is our measuring stick. That is how we evaluate everything we do in life. Is it as we would wish God to do to us? Of course, we wish God to be merciful. Even the most terrible criminal will beg God for mercy, not having given mercy to others. It is a natural human need for mercy, a natural human need for love, for acceptance, and therefore we wish God to give us these things. That's why we pray to Him. So the golden rule, restated, is do unto others as you would have God do unto you. And this parable shows it beautifully. Doesn't say it in so many words, but then very seldom is something that is very worthwhile said in so many words, because it takes eyes to see and ears to hear things and hear things that are important. And even when they're spelled out, if a person is not ready to receive them, they don't hear them. That is why the Lord spoke in parables. Because for those who are ready to receive the truth is right there. And it's beautiful. It's the most wonderful thing to see the truth. Especially when our Lord speaks it and shows it to us. So let's go through this parable very quickly, just for biblical literacy purposes. Because perhaps some of you don't understand the meaning of the parable. But then let's talk about the most beautiful thing. Just knowing the external meaning of the parable, that's not enough. This parable should touch your heart. It certainly touches mine. It excites me. It encourages me. And it gives me a sure guide about where I should go and what I should be doing. There's really no ambiguity about how I should live my life. This parable makes it very clear, and it should make it very clear to all of us. So this is one of the kingdom parables, lots of kingdom parables. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king who would take account of his servants. Here he is describing the last judgment, where God would judge all mankind. But actually, he's kind of morphing into a temporary judgment, using a king who would temporarily judge his servants. Because a king, during this life, could obviously forgive his servant, and his servant could make good on a debt or could show that his repentance and not be punished. But in the last judgment, there is no recourse. It is a sudden and final judgment. So this is referring to the last judgment, but really it is speaking in the parable of just a temporary judgment where a king is taking account of his servants. And so he is brought before him a servant who owns 10,000 talents. In other words, in a huge sum, way too much that he could ever pay for as a laborer. Wouldn't even be able to earn that much in his lifetime. An infinite sum for all practical purposes, which of course is our sins. We can't pay for our sins. There are too many. Even if we could pay for some of them, even if we could somehow show our worth to God and He would expunge sins based only on our personal worth, we don't have enough time, enough energy, or enough worth to be able to have all of the sins expunged. They're an infinite sum, 10,000 talents. And so the Lord says, because he has not enough to pay, cast him into prison with his wife and his children. Sell him and cast his wife and his children also into prison with him. Now, the wife and the children are indicators of all of our life. You have a wife, and then what happens with your wife? You bring forth life. You bring forth children. The children could be conceived of, in this case, to be all of the things that are productive in our life, or that we think are productive. But they're nothing. They're sold. They become nothing. Everything goes to dust. Now, it's important to see what the servant says to the king. He says, "Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." This phrase occurs twice, verbatim, in this parable, and it is very important. And that's how you can understand the restatement of the golden rule, because he's saying, "Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee all." That's exactly what we want from God, to be patient with us in our sin, because of our sins, and not to judge us. And we promise him we will pay him. Not that we will really repay him according to some sort of calculus, but that we will give him our heart, because that's what the Lord wants from us. He gives us himself, and we are to give him ourselves. And that is the payment of all. You just give yourself. So the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, it says. That's an incredible moment. These moments occur in our life with our loved ones, perhaps sometimes with our enemies. When either we are moved with compassion or they are moved with compassion, that's a holy moment. That's a godly moment. Because when we are acting with compassion, we are acting as much as like God as possible. We're being God in that case. Acting with compassion to someone. That's a holy moment. I hope that you have a lot of those holy moments in your life when you're compassionate. Now, it's easy to be compassionate with those you love and those who return good for good. It's more difficult, but it is godly. It is perfect to be compassionate with those who return evil for good. Your enemies, those who slander you, those who hurt you. So being compassionate doesn't mean there's going to be a good outcome for you. But being compassionate does mean that you are as much like God as possible in that moment. And that is a holy moment. It's really breathtaking to hear the Lord say that the Lord of that servant, meaning God, was moved with compassion to the servant, just as he has compassion towards us. And since we're made in his image and should become after his likeness, then we should also have that power for compassion in our hearts. It's a great power. It's a holy thing. It's not the kind of thing that builds bridges and makes people popular in news telecasts. But it is the kind of thing that makes the heart perfect. It is the greatest power in the universe, because to be compassionate is, of course, to love. To love is to be like God, since God is love. This is really an incredibly holy moment that is being described, where the Lord is compassionate to us, and likewise we must be compassionate with others. Now, at the end of the parable, he says that likewise my heavenly Father will do to you, that is, not have compassion on you, if your hearts do not forgive everyone, your brother, your trespasses. Or their trespasses, excuse me. So it's kind of in a negative sense. If you're not merciful to others, God will not be merciful to you. But I'll tell you, Those of us who have children know, and we know if we know anything about our own psychology, what really motivates a human being is not the fear of punishment. What motivates a human being is when their heart is enlarged, when their heart is warm, when God fills them, when there is joy because of what they're doing and how they're doing it. That's what motivates. And so this moment of compassion, when the Lord is compassionate to his servant, that must motivate you. Since God is compassionate to you, you're still standing here, you're not a cinder, as we all deserve to be, then you should have in your heart this overwhelming desire and need to be compassionate with others. Not because of fear of punishment. That works for some. And for some people who never can really ascend very high, that's the way they live. They live that I should be compassionate with others because God was compassionate with me, and he'll judge me if I'm not. And that's sort of a low level of Christian life. But the higher level is to wish to be like God, to feel the compassion of God in your own heart and have this absolute compulsion to give it to others. That's the higher way. And that's what this parable is speaking of. Like I said, not in so many words, but it's very clear. This is how we are to order our life. Now he forgives the servant, and the servant goes away, and he forgets about the debt because he doesn't owe it anymore. And he goes to a fellow servant who owes him just a small sum, grabs him by the throat and says, "Pay me." And then listen, the exact same words are said. "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." The same words. This is indicating to us that as we ask of God, so we should give to others. This is how you must order your life in order to be saved. If you do this, then you'll be saved. And I've told you many times, sometimes people get offended with me about this who think in very legalistic ways. Don't be afraid of your sins. Be afraid if your heart is not directed to God. Because if you have sins, God's going to help you with them if you repent of them. But you won't be able to repent of them if you don't have compassion in your heart. We're nothing without love. Whatever sins you have, if you have love, God will bring you to perfection. Because perfect love not only casts out fear, but casts out all sins, covers all sins. So we have to remember this love that God has for us, this compassion that God has for us. And this compassion is not meant to be clutched to and held on to like this man did. "I'm done with my 10,000 talent debt. Now I can go out and get some money from other people." Instead, we should not remember it with our minds, but it should just be, our whole being should be that God is compassionate to us, therefore we must be compassionate to others. Just as much as we must breathe air and drink water, it is our natural state to be compassionate with others. Because God is compassionate with us. Now the end of the parable certainly has terrible judgments against the one who is not compassionate. And he forgot God's mercy. And he was not merciful himself. And so of course there is a great judgment. If you judge others, you'll be judged. If you're not merciful to others, God will not be merciful to you. That's absolutely true. But in my experience, that doesn't motivate people too much. It's very true, but it really doesn't motivate people too much. What really changes a person is when they feel the love of God in their heart. And then they're changed. Absolutely. They'll never be the same. They won't be just an uncaring individual anymore. They'll feel the needs of people around them, and they'll desire to help them. That's the beauty of what this parable is telling us. Remember God's compassion to you and share it with others. That's your yardstick. That's your ruler. That's your guide. If you want to know how to act towards someone, how do you want God to act towards you? If someone steals, how would he want you to treat him when you find out? With mercy. Just as you, if you steal, you would want God to treat you with mercy. It's really very simple. It's not complicated. And it's where the heart knows. You don't have to use much thinking. And it's a beautiful way to live. And what it does then, if you live this way, is your heart gets larger and larger. And no matter how large your heart gets, God is large enough to be within it. And you become holy and happy. And there's peace in your heart. I don't mean in your daily life. There's a lot of merciful people that there is not any peace in their daily life at all. That's not the measurement. Or even if you're free from anxiety and troubles, that's not the measurement either. The measurement is in your heart. Is it warm? Is God abiding in your heart? Do you feel his compassion for you? And does it motivate you, move you to be compassionate with others? Then you're a real Christian. And then you can truly know God and see him. God help us to be compassionate as the Lord is compassionate to us. God help us to have this perfect golden rule. Not just to do unto others as we would have others do unto us. Do unto others as we would have God do unto us. God bless you. Amen.